You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it.
Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem. Sneakers and streetwear so fresh, every step feels fly.
eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach.
Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Help! I suck at dating. With Dean Unglert and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to a new episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. I'm Dean Unglert, recording live from Amy Sugarman's house with Jared Haben and Pappy.
Pappy's sitting right next to you. He looks quite adorable. So I think we should talk about it right off the bat. You've officially adopted Pappy. And I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast.
You're right. Well, we haven't really recorded a podcast since Tahoe 2 weeks ago. I feel like we haven't recorded any podcasts lately.
Were you going to say and Tori?
I was going to say and Tori.
I'm an asshole.
No, it's okay.
Wait, what?
Well, for the listeners out there, I just wanted to introduce you as a guest on the podcast this week.
Oh, I'm a guest.
A co-host.
Okay. Our guest co-host, Tori, who's
a contributor to the podcast. Because sometimes you do, sometimes you don't contribute, you know?
That is very
You always
accurate.
Contribute. It's just whether she contributes on air.
That's, yep, that's also a good
point. I'm always the wind beneath your wings.
Anyways, yes, Jared, I did adopt, well, Kaylin and I adopted Pappy.
Congratulations, Woo! Man. That's super exciting.
Thanks. Yeah, he's
great
been
clap, Tori. Great, clap. Great clapping.
I mean, and now they're married. They have kids.
He's been a little shithead lately. I like came home, or I went back to Kaylin's apartment today, and he was like yapping away. He always cries when we're gone, and he's pees everywhere. And
you can't really get mad at that, though. Why is he pee? Does he get excited?
Or he's just probably got like a bladder problem. He's old.
How old is he now?
He's 11.
Oh, he's
got
so
He's got a heart murmur. He's got a tumor. He's got dental issues, clearly.
Yeah, so, but you know what he has now?
A loving family.
A dad.
And a dad.
He's got a dad. You're a dad.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. We're leaving tomorrow and we're taking him with us. We're somewhere. Kaylin bought us a trip somewhere and we're flying with him for the first time.
You don't know
so
where
it'll
you're
be
going?
Interesting. No, it's a surprise trip.
Ooh.
You guys do that a lot, huh?
We try to do it once a quarter, once every 3 months.
Once a quarter.
Yep.
For your business relationship.
For the business relationship.
That you're married completely for satire.
See, the thing is we have we have so much expenses and expenditures per month. And if we don't hit our expenses for the quarter, then the next quarter our expenses become less. So we have to spend that surplus of money on a business expense, which is us hanging out, Kaylin and I.
Traveling.
Yeah.
As if people couldn't hate us anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got business expenses, bro.
Yeah.
So you don't know where you're going. Are you nervous at all because of coronavirus, not knowing where you're 0% going?
0% nervous. In fact, I think this whole thing, and obviously this is a good topical thing for us to discuss, and it probably ties into dating. Should you date with the coronavirus out there? I'm personally not afraid of it whatsoever. Are you guys?
I think it should be taken seriously, but no, I'm not afraid of it. I don't think it. I think the media is blowing it so out of proportion. And yes, cases are going to go up. And yes, unfortunately, people will die from this disease. And it is terrible. But the fact is, it is a flu strain. And that's what happens. You know, they say, I think if you're over 80, I think the stat is you have a 1 in 6 chance of dying from the disease. But then everybody else, it's you know, your chances are like 0.001.
Yeah.
I don't know the
That's
full
even
statistics,
sounds high to
but,
me,
but
I just know if anybody in this whole like our whole iHeart family is gonna get it, it's gonna be me.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say it was gonna be one of us.
Well, no, I just know my luck, and it's gonna be. I'm going to Florida in a couple days.
Yeah,
I'll probably get it then.
You're what, a 21 year old healthy person?
25.
25.
21.
Same thing. You're a young,
literally just turned 25.
You're a young adult who's healthy. There's a 0% chance that anything is going to happen to you for the most part.
Not a 0%, but you'll be fine.
There's a high chance.
A high chance of you getting it.
Yeah. Sure. No, Florida trip, I just feel it.
I think from a person that enjoys traveling standpoint, now is the time to be booking plane tickets and hotels at places.
They're pretty cheap.
No, they're not. That's such a fabrication.
It's not true.
I just booked a flight to DC because Ashley and I are going to go visit her family. Not cheap at all.
Well, okay, you're maybe also last minute
buying. And like last minute buying.
Yeah.
Yes.
A flight to Hawaii is $99 right now.
I just saw that. It was like somebody from the office, they're going for like $200.
It's crazy. I don't know who the office is, but...
Well, I guarantee international flights are super cheap right now. Nobody wants to travel international.
Right.
Because, well, the only nerve-wracking part for me would be traveling internationally would be if you did catch it in a different country, then what? 19.
Well,
because
Italy's on lockdown.
Yeah, that's insane.
Nobody's allowed
country.
To go in. And then, like, you can't go out of your house unless you have like documentation that you have to be somewhere for.
It's so funny. I saw a meme about this. Like China's doing the same thing. Italy's doing that. Like everything's
China's doing
quarantine.
It too.
Well, like Wuhan and the places where it's
been a
big spread epidemic. Yeah.
And then it goes to America is talking about pushing Coachella back a couple months.
Yeah. Well, there's not a widespread in America right now. Yeah. And I think the problem is the way the media is portraying it. They're saying that it's going to spread. They're not wrong, but at the same time, we have to anticipate that and not be terrified of it. Just like a cold spreads, just like the flu spreads.
I mean, us in Los Angeles, we're in a state of emergency right now.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, all the toilet paper is like gone from superstores.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm like, what are we?
I haven't wiped my butt in days, you guys.
What?
Yeah.
Did we just say?
Is that a serious
statement? There's no toilet paper. What am I supposed to wipe it with?
You can shower it afterwards.
If I showered, yeah, that would be a good solution.
Do you keep toilet paper stocked in your van?
I have toilet paper rolls in my van, yeah.
I don't know if this is true or not, but I remember hearing that Ben, our very own lovely Ben Higgins, after he defecates, he doesn't wipe. He just jumps immediately into the shower if he can.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've done that plenty of times. I was a poor college student for a long time.
So you wouldn't buy toilet paper?
If I, like, let's say we ran out, I hadn't gone to the store for a while, I didn't have the funds to go to the store, I just jump in the shower. Bada bing, bada boom.
Oh, that seems so gross to me.
No mess.
Anyway,
maybe
we
just
really
double up on
talk about this.
Double up on the soap.
But that is interesting. Should you go on dates during coronavirus?
Tori, you're the only single one amongst us. Would you go on a date right now if someone asked you?
You know what's funny? I was at somebody's birthday party at Rocco's the other day, like on Sunset.
Oh, yeah. That's Lance Bass's bar.
Oh, somebody else told me that.
Yeah.
Didn't know that. And
more
I was like, this is probably where I would get it too. Mm. And I was like at the bar, like leaning, and I was like,
"Are you a hypochondriac?" Because
no, not at all.
That's twice now that you've been pretty adamant
because
about you getting corona.
I just know my luck, and I'll get it. But I haven't thought about germs before, really, until now, where I'm like, "Oh, for sure, the bar is just getting like smeared with like a wet rag."
Sure.
There's no like sanitation. And that is a lot of people putting their hands on the bar being like, give me another drink.
Well, two things you can always remember to do is wash your hands constantly for 20 seconds each time with soap and water. It's very important, Dean. Don't shake your head. Because I think, of course, this should be taken seriously so we can try to eliminate it as quickly as possible. But at the same time, I don't think there should be panic. And the way to contain this thing as best as possible, wash your hands and then try not to touch your face. Because like you said, if your hands are on the bar... And if you don't wash your hands and then you touch your eye, you could potentially be getting it if somebody at the bar had it.
I'm not worried at all about getting it, but my friend made a good point the other day because I was talking to him about it too. And he goes, I don't know. I don't care about getting it, but I'm worried about getting it and spreading it to someone else that could potentially die from it. Like his father, for instance, has had a liver transplant or whatever. I can't remember exactly what it was. And if he got sick, he would essentially... odds are pretty likely he would die from it. So he's like, I'm scared to get it because I don't want to give it to my dad kind of thing.
Of course. No, that's a very real thing that people need to be aware of. Because like you said, us in this room, knock on wood, we probably don't have too much to worry about. Because even if we get it, we'll be able to fight it off hopefully pretty easily. But like you said, if we get it and we continue to live our daily lives and we, you know, give this to somebody who doesn't have as good an immune system as us or is elderly, that could cause issues. And I think that's why people are trying to contain this, because they know that most people will be fine, but they want to save as many lives as possible.
And if you get it, hopefully you have a hot doctor.
Talking about
hot doctor?
Doctor.
Hot doctor.
I don't
to take care of you.
Well, for you.
In quarantine.
That's kind of more for you.
I just want a good doctor.
Like, oh my God. Oh, okay.
Anyways.
Hot and good.
So your plan is to go to Florida,
get a hot
get
doctor.
Coronavirus, get quarantined with what's the dude's name from Grey's Anatomy? The gray hair one. McDreamy.
McDreamy.
No, that was not.
Oh, that's not McDreamy.
No, that's not McDreamy. It was McSteamy.
McSteamy.
Is
Patrick,
that one?
Patrick Dempsey.
Is that one?
I don't know. I don't know, you guys.
Anyway, we leave that dude. Important. You guys fall in love. You get cured of coronavirus.
Listen,
and
I know,
live happily ever after.
I know we could talk for days about hot doctors and coronavirus, but we do need to move on. We watched part one of the Bachelor finale last night. And we have Dr. Nancy Lee coming in as a guest in our next segment. She's going to dissect that a little bit with us.
Yes, she's the author of Don't Sleep With Him Yet, A Badass Guide to Dating in 10 Empowering Steps.
All that and more coming up after this quick break.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Welcome back. We have a very special guest just joining us right now. She's a psychologist. She is also the author of Don't Sleep With Him Yet, A Badass Guide to Dating in 10 Empowering Steps. It is Dr. Nancy Lee. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So did you watch the first part of the finale of The Bachelor last night?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
What are your thoughts?
Interesting. Really.
I think that's the word used to describe the whole show.
Really interesting. We won't get me started on mothers, but that's a whole other episode. Love is definitely blind. But it's also interesting to see that people were really standing up for themselves, both Hannah and Madison. Like basically Hannah was, I need more. So it's like a lot of, believe it or not, but a lot of women don't do that. Like they don't really assert themselves in relationships. And Madison too, she was saying, this is me, take it or leave it. So that was impressive.
Yeah, I thought both of them were impressive. Why wouldn't you start on mothers?
because that
piqued my curiosity.
Because I am a mother. Barbara takes pushiness to a whole other level. I mean, basically, how do you make a determination if somebody is quote unquote perfect for somebody else by meeting them once?
So you didn't like Barb telling Peter that he should pick Han, not Madison?
I tend to throw away all the shoulds, especially when they come from meeting somebody once who is just gushing about somebody she doesn't even know. Mm-hmm. And by the way, as a psychologist, I think perfect is scary. I mean, really, if I meet somebody who seems perfect, I kind of feel like what is hiding behind...
Yeah, there's no such thing as perfect.
Right. What's hiding behind the perfection?
I'd also argue there's no such thing as somebody who's perfect for you.
Yes, I agree. You take a relationship, you make it right. You choose one another. Absolutely. You choose one another, you make it work. Yeah. So I also like to toss out the word perfect.
I think what I at least experienced when I watched the show last night was... The reason Barbara got so attached to Hannah Ann was because they were basically a mirror of each other, in my opinion.
Yes.
Like, Hannah Ann was super emotional in that whole conversation, and Barbara obviously is a little emotional as well.
And they even look alike.
Yeah, they look a bit alike.
Yeah, she even, like, Barbara made that comment, oh my God, this woman is breathtakingly gorgeous,
yeah.
And she reminds me of us. I was curious what she looked like 30 years ago. I Googled her. She actually looks like Hannah.
Yeah, interesting.
They're very similar types. And by the way, psychologically, we tend to have an inherent bias towards people who are like us, whether we're talking about like romantic relationships or weighing in on somebody else's relationship. But we have an inherent bias towards somebody like us.
And then there's the Oedipus, right?
Big time.
Right. Oh, we're seeing pictures of Barb as a younger woman.
Yeah, I could see the similarities between her and Hannah Ann. Absolutely. Even in the 30-year or whatever gap that we saw last night, I saw similarities in
I thought they looked I think they looked more like last night than what I'm seeing right now, but I get it.
So I guess let's tie it into your book. So Don't Sleep With Him Yet is the book that you wrote. Let's go and just think about Peter's experience in Fantasy Suites. We can't assume, he obviously didn't sleep with Maddie because they never spent a night together. We don't know what him and Hannah did, but they were intimate per Peter's words. Do you think that has any bearing on or any indication on what he's going to do from here?
I don't think it's Fantasy Suites per se. I just think it's everything, how he feels about the woman. He seems to be really like absolutely in love with Madison at this point, at least. Also, it's really interesting because the type, people either love or hate the title of my book. So I was choosing something meant to be provocational, but it really is about throwing out the rules, throwing out the shoulds, like basically sleeping with somebody whenever it's right for you. Ironically, like there is so much quote unquote, I'll call it virgin shaming. So, or even just women who maybe don't want to hook up straight away, you know, or have sex on a really early date. So a lot of like those women are saying, oh my gosh, thanks for writing this book. But like, I'm also hearing from women who are like really getting in touch with their sexuality, because I say also like there are times where a woman wants to sleep with somebody immediately, and that's fine. Just understand yourself. To quote The Bachelor, make sure you're doing it for the right reason, the right reasons. So
yeah, that's perfect. Well, Jared, what do you think? Because from our perspective, or from my perspective at least, Peter wants what he hasn't had yet, which is, you know, he hasn't had the intimacy with Maddie. Obviously, it's deeper than that, and there's more to it than that. But from my experience, I've experienced that before too. It's like you always kind of want the thing that you haven't gotten yet or can't have. And so that's kind of why I feel like this like burning desire to be with Maddie is so strong for him at the moment. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think Peter's suffering from nice guy syndrome, where he's trying to please everybody and yet he seems to be making everybody upset. Because that's what happens. You can't please everybody. And I think you talked about how Madison and Hannah Ann were good last night in the episode, Doctor, because they really vocalized what exactly they wanted. I'm not sure if Peter has done a good enough job of doing that with the women thus far. because I think that he keeps trying to say what he believes is right in the moment, but I'm not sure it's really what he believes. And so I think it's really costing him at this point, because it's very obvious that he's more into Madison than Hannah Ann. But I agree with Dean. I think that he's so into Madison because Madison is showing signs of, well, I don't want to be with you. And so he wants what he can't have. And also, you know, I just think, again, I like Peter. I think he's a nice guy. I've kind of felt like this from the beginning. He might have just not been ready to be the Bachelor, because I think that you have to be ready to a certain extent. And then last night, everybody, like, how many times did we hear about his lifestyle and him clubbing and going out? It's like, oh, that's weird. Why is her family concerned about that? And then, so I think that's why I hope he picks Hannah Ann, because I think that him and Hannah Ann are just a better fit.
I was pretty vocal on Twitter about being pro team Hannah Ann, and I feel like you and I might be in the vast minority there.
I agree.
Because it seems like everyone wants him to pick Maddie, maybe because he does seem so much more polarized by her.
I think they want him to pick Maddie because they, no offense to Hannah Ann, I think the majority of people are more invested in Madison. They, for lack of a better way of phrasing it, they like Madison better, so they're rooting for Maddie.
Yeah.
But watching the season, I think Hannah Ann is a far better, quote, fit for Peter and his lifestyle, and I think Peter, same thing with Hannah Ann.
Yeah.
I think they would have a better relationship.
Except that he may be picking up on something about Hannah Ann that we don't see.
True.
Because she does seem great. Notice I didn't say the word perfect, but she really does seem great.
Yeah.
She's beautiful. She's smart. She's fun to talk to. She's articulate. But obviously, he's not connecting 100%.
Yeah. And is it also coincidental that his final two are 23-year-olds? Just out of curiosity for you.
That's a great question. I have to give that some thought. Maybe. I mean, it may just, be yeah. that, be you know, maybe, Jared, because of what you said, that he's kind of like not quite ready and a little bit immature himself. So he's choosing women who are younger that way. Yeah, that's actually a really good insight.
Well, it's consequential, I guess. You know, you choose a 23-year-old, you get it wrong. It's not as big as if you chose a 31-year-old. And got it wrong.
Right.
And I'm not even saying he's doing this consciously.
Right.
I think it might have kind of worked out that way, but I'm curious if there's something under the layer where, like we were talking about, maybe there's a part of him that's not ready and he's not coming to terms with that. And then subconsciously he's going towards, you know, younger women. I don't know.
Possibly.
So what do we think is going to happen tonight for the finale, part two?
Oh, gosh. So I need a crystal ball here.
Right.
I think that he's probably is going to connect with Hannah Ann, because that's kind of like the easiest thing to do right away. Hard to say. And of course, here I'm thinking about Chris Harrison's. This is the most, every season, right, is the most
dramatic season.
And tumultuous. But something does happen. Does he choose Hannah Ann, change his mind? Does Madison come back? So, I think it's going to be a very, like, Hannah Ann is the obvious choice. Right now, I just don't know that she's going to be, like, the permanent choice.
Yeah.
Also, Jared, you made a point before about, and I think Dean also, about what's up with Peter. I think he's a male version of a people pleaser. Typically, we women are much more inclined to be people pleasers than men, just because we're acculturated that way. But I really see Peter like basically not really standing up for himself. And I'm not just saying last night, but especially like his relationship with Victoria for months. He just doesn't really assert what he wants or needs. I think Dean said, and you're so right, that he's worried about everybody else. Mm. But he doesn't really stand up for what he wants. So you typically see that with a lot of women.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing that with him, which is kind of, yeah.
Oh, I completely different. Agree. I think, again, like we said, he's a nice guy, but sometimes he's a nice guy to a fault. Because
yes.
Especially in this world, and when you're dealing with relationships and potentially engagements and marriage, you have to be selfish to a certain extent. And you have to vocalize what your expectations are, what your needs are, what your wants are. And I think sometimes, like you said, Peter at times has just been a little bit reserved and unwilling to do that because he's trying to please everybody.
Yes.
And I think it might be costing him now, which sucks, because I think if he put his foot down a little bit more, he wouldn't be getting nearly as much backlash as he's getting now.
So, Jared, do you have any predictions for tonight?
I may have looked some stuff up, so
some
I can't.
Oh, yeah. You cheated.
Well, because I'm just, I'm the guy that wants to know. Like, my curiosity always gets the best of me, so I have to look beforehand.
Okay.
So especially with this stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I'm bad with watching TV shows. Like, yeah. I can't wait 10, 12 episodes for a season finale. Like, I like movies. I like a beginning, middle, and end all within a two-hour span.
Well, whatever happens tonight, we do know one thing. It's going to be the most dramatic thing ever.
Right. That's ever. Right. Ever. Right. In Bachelor history.
See, Dr. Nancy, I wanted to ask you about Dean. So you brought a piece of paper in really with you.
Don't kick me out, please.
Hey,
promise.
It's a safe space, I promise.
Okay.
And explain what's on that piece of paper and explain the part about Dean that's on that piece of paper.
Okay. So again, as a psychologist, I look at different psychological categories. And I also don't analyze me, but I have my fun is basically comparing those categories to people that I either... just different celebrities. And so what's more fun than analyzing men on The Bachelor? So sure. way back in September, before there was any inkling that I was going to be a guest on the show, I took a couple of categories that I talk about in my book. It's a whole chapter called Men to Avoid. So there's a lot of fun things in there, like narcissists and serial cheaters and
soft boy
and soft boys and players.
What's a soft boy?
A soft boy is a guy who thinks he's... This is not Dean, by the way.
Okay.
But a soft boy...
Dean's not soft.
A soft boy... Actually, it may even be Peter. A soft boy is a guy who thinks he's ready for relationships and acts like he is, but there's no substance there.
Oh, I've been a soft boy.
Exactly. Okay, then you get it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just you put on a facade. I have changed, but again, you have to, like we talked about before, commitment is choice. You have to choose the other person every day. But there was a time where I put out this facade that I was ready for marriage and I knew exactly what I wanted, and it couldn't be further from the truth.
Exactly. And then the women that you were dating possibly were blindsided by a breakup.
I would never let it get that far, but okay. That wouldn't make it worse, obviously. But I got called out by, I remember one time I got called out by this girl who called me an F-boy and that, even though we only went on like two dates, but that I never gave her a full chance and that I'm going to never find anybody if I continue just to... do what I'm doing pretty much.
Jared Abon, F-boy.
I know.
It's got a ring to it.
I don't even know if we kissed. Not even joking.
That's pretty funny.
And by the way, women do that all the time. They go on that like attack when they're rejected. And I hate that, by the way. That's just an aside. But anyway, Jared, you didn't make the list. Had we had spoken, you would have.
Oh, great.
But Dean did. Yes. So I, quote unquote, called Dean a commitment phobe.
You're not the first. I'll tell you that. Okay.
And I'm happy to read what I wrote.
I think it'd be great. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remember, this is several months ago. So, and this is from me being a psychologist and a major Bachelor fan. Okay. So, a commitment phobe is truly into you, but he is overtaken by irrational fear and disabling anxiety at the thought of engagement or marriage with anyone. Big blue-eyed Dean Unglert juggled relationships with Christina Schulman and Danielle Lombard on last year's Bachelor in Paradise without ever committing to either woman. Later, after forging a relationship with Leslie Murphy on Bachelor Winter Games, the couple continued seeing one another after the show, including Dean's giving Leslie a key to the house. But he eventually broke up with her as well. Recently, Dean ditched his in-paradise partner, Kaylin Miller, Keys, by abruptly leaving the show, only to return weeks later and convince Kaylin, by then involved with Connor, to dump Connor and run off with him. She did. Although Dean explained his initial breakup with Kaylin and all his former breakups as well as a form of, quote, self-sabotage, this behavior can also be viewed as a phobia to institutionalize commitment that is marriage. Although Dean and Kaylin are still together, it is highly unlikely that they will ever see their wedding day. I hope I'm not, by the way, I'm a romantic and I hope I'm not right. I love you guys.
Can we just hold, whether you agree or disagree with that? Wow, that was well written.
Yeah,
Holy crap.
And listen, like I said, you're not the first. You won't be the last to call me a commitment phobe because a lot of that stuff is pretty spot on, I got to say.
Well, let's answer the elephant in the room right now. You said that Dean and Kaylin would never see their wedding day.
I didn't say
Have you seen his left hand?
oh my gosh, is there a reveal today? And I said unlikely, but I hope that I'm proven wrong. Am I?
Yeah, is she?
We'll save that for another episode.
Oh, okay, God. We'll save it.
This
yeah.
man.
We'll save it.
This man. You're right. You are a commitment phobe.
And by the way, people evolve.
Yeah.
So the way somebody is like at 24, 25, I'm not sure like how old you were when you started The Bachelor, it changes. I mean, it's very different from the way somebody is at 28 or 29.
I will say that my progression as an individual throughout Bachelorette and my most recent Bachelor in Paradise, from what I've seen, at least in myself, has changed a lot. I think that just to at least maybe like qualify everything a little bit, on Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise the first time, and then Bachelor Winter Games, I was still, and I still am, obviously, figuring out a lot about myself, learning a lot. And I think the best way to summarize it is I was constantly looking to be stimulated in my relationship as like the king stimulant for my life. But in reality, I was never really doing the things that made me happy. I was kind of leaning on that to make me happy. And then when that got boring, I'd be like, I'm out because I'm bored of this. So I'm going to move on to the next thing that stimulates me. Since those shows, since Bachelor Winter Games and the whole Leslie relationship, I've found things to stimulate me on a regular basis that I'm interested in and continue to pursue. So it's not, I'm not relying on Kaylin to keep me interested. I'm keeping myself interested. And then the relationship comes on and obviously we're able to build and grow with each other.
See, and something that I love about you, and that's great, and I've noticed this on the show, and it's exactly the what you're expressing now, is you're always looking for self-insight. Like you really, really show that. Unfortunately, so many people don't, but I've noticed that about you.
Well, that's nice.
All along.
Thanks.
So, and this is harsh because harsh is just fun.
Absolutely. Especially when you're being critical of other people. Like in this instance, right? Like you can't take a middle stance on something because then it's no stance at all. If you have to skew one way or the other, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah.
But Jared was saying something at the top of it too, that you have some similarities within yourself of the commitment phobe you were saying.
Soft boy.
Yeah, I forget.
Not being ready for a relationship, especially younger, acting like you were and thinking you were.
Well, I think Dean had commitment. Well, here's the thing. From 10,000 feet away, because you still refuse to tell anybody whether you're married or not, I think that probably some of those things in that paragraph are true about Dean, and Dean knows that,
which
is why Dean's so such an incredible human being, because he's aware of his flaws and tries to work on them, which is why I and a lot of people respect Dean, because he puts it out there. Like anybody dating Dean doesn't know this, right? Like I think I have issues, but comparably, I think there's a lot of people out there who start dating guys who don't showcase their flaws like Dean does. And then all of a sudden, their partners find out, oh, wow, you have a lot of flaws that I had no idea were boiling underneath.
I don't even necessarily think they're flaws, just challenges.
Yeah, that's a better way of phrasing it. Yeah.
Being afraid of commitment is a challenge, and it's a challenge for oneself. It's also a challenge for whoever you're dating if they want a committed relationship.
Right.
Can I ask you two questions?
Sure. Before you ask the questions, I just want to, as an aside, the funny thing you call it a challenge is Kaylin and I never say that we are annoying each other. Instead of saying annoying, we say that we're challenging each other.
I love it.
So it's just funny to hear that.
That's
that,
cute.
That's
really funny.
Similar. Yeah.
That's good. That's great.
My question was, do you think you are a commitment phobe?
Yes. I would still say that I haven't shaken the title of commitment phobe entirely.
I just meant like for you, not the tag, like who cares what other people think about you? Do you think?
Yeah, I've talked about it on the podcast before because I did therapy quite a bit last year, maybe the year before. And even my therapist said that I have an addiction to novelty. And I think someone that's addicted to novelty and trying new things inherently is kind of commitment phobic because they're always kind of looking for the next thing.
The next thrill.
And so I there's definitely a large part of me that is that way. Yeah.
And my second question is, realizing that, is that why you have a wedding band on your hand? Do you think, like, for whether you're actually, because this human being, he just won't tell anybody whether he's married or not.
Maybe it's aspirational. Maybe that's he wants to get to that point. And
that's
exactly
my point.
And yeah.
I think that he knows that he has this fear of commitment, and so he loves Kaylin so much and cares about her so deeply that he is actively every day fighting that off.
Right.
Until it just becomes second nature. And that includes the wedding band. Be like, hey, I want to make sure that you know, I know that I'm in this. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to fight for it. And I'm going to try to fight off any phobia I have about being in a committed relationship with you, Caitlin.
He's also trying to fight off all the women that are hitting on him out there.
Part of it too. I don't want to be at a bar and have...
Exactly.
Like, I don't think the wedding band's going to prevent that.
Remember what I said about the big blue eyes? Sorry.
I think Dean only becomes more attractive with the wedding band, which I don't even know how that's possible, but I think it might be.
Ladies, he really is cute. I'm married and like, hey, we look... Oh, yeah, he's cute.
Talk to Nancy.
You both are.
What a gem.
It's all right. I know, like I'm confident in myself, but Dean is like a, you know, a unicorn, you know.
I will say one of the many faults that I have is being a contrarian, and so defying people's expectations is just, it gives me so many
hence
kicks.
The mustache.
It gives you a rush.
It gives me a rush. Yeah,
it gives you
absolutely
a rush.
Does.
Yeah, and that's not something you ever want to lose. It just depends how you channel it. If you're channeling it and it's not hurting anybody, and it really actually it can actually be really positive. So I think that's something that you want to cultivate possibly, and it and just depending on what the channels are.
Yeah.
So how long have you been married, Dr. Nancy?
Too long. No, a long time. I've been married, oh my gosh, I think it's about 30 years.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So yeah. How do you make it last?
You work at it. You,
I liked your little stutter there.
The hesitation.
You kill them.
No, I like that. No, you really have to. There's going to be speed bumps. So in 99.9% of relationships, and it's about dedication and commitment and working things through.
I've always been curious with people, with doctors and psychologists and all the sort. Do you find yourself kind of working around the clock, like psychoanalyzing your husband, for instance, or your children or anything like that?
You know what? Okay, great question. I'm asked that all the time. Because I'm behavior cognitive, I actually really don't psychoanalyze. I look at goals and, yeah, what is somebody goal? What are their goals and behaviors? And what do people want out of therapy? Whether it's like somebody can come in and they want to like find a great relationship. They could come in and they want to alleviate anxiety or depression. So with it, I mean, within that, yeah, you get into all sorts of things regarding people's lives. But ultimately, I never really, quote unquote, analyze people. It's more about looking at life, looking at people and seeing, okay, how does that fit with what is going to make somebody happy?
Yeah.
Now, of course, that's different than diagnosing. So, and it's like, again, this is fun. It's entertainment. I really would never, quote unquote, diagnose somebody without meeting them.
Of course.
But there are characteristics that you can look at and say, okay, that's what's going on. So, my kids I've analyzed. No, just kidding. Emotional manipulation is a really interesting one because you see that in a lot of relationships, unfortunately, and that's about when somebody has an agenda or they're trying to control somebody else's behavior and perception. So I am really good at calling people out on that. I'm not calling my husband an emotional manipulator. Sorry, John. But if he does try to pull something, I think that's where being a psychologist and understanding that really does come in handy.
What exactly is... Oh, sorry, Dean.
I was going to ask, do you think we've seen any of that emotional manipulation on Peter's season of The Bachelor?
Oh, gosh, yes. Hello, Victoria.
Can you give us an example? Because I'm trying to figure out what exactly emotional manipulation is.
I can tell you exactly. So Victoria F., and sorry, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but remember when he was starting to say, this bothers me, I heard that you may have broken up marriages, and she was like basically F this and walked away, this is bullshit. That's emotional manipulation because it's basically you're not allowing somebody else to voice their feelings. You're being really, she was being really dismissive. Or when she said, when he was feeling badly about something else and she said, oh, you're always in a mood. So that's emotional manipulation as well because you're trying to get somebody else to feel a certain way about themselves, but you're really avoiding the issue.
Yeah, you put the blame on them.
Exactly. That who hasn't been, well, a lot of people haven't been bullied, but for anybody who's been bullied and then they try to speak up for themselves and the person says, oh, you're just so sensitive, mm-hmm. or can't you take a joke? That's a clear example of emotional manipulation.
Gotcha. Well, I have a friend that does that all the time.
Dr. Nancy.
Okay, so now you can call him on it.
I don't think I could.
We got to move on. But before we do, I just have one request. So this paragraph of my commitment phobe that she wrote, you wrote one for a lot of other men from Bachelor in Paradise. Don't read the whole thing, but can you just give us the name and the title that you assigned for them real quick before we do move on to the next segment?
Okay, sure.
Just out of curiosity.
Okay, so here's a few. So speaking of emotional manipulation, Luke Parker, serial philanderer, Jed White.
Wait, serial what?
Philanderer, serial cheater.
Got it. Yeah. Oh, Jed. Oh, no.
Player, Blake Hortzman. Soft boy, Clay Harbor.
Ah.
Narcissist, Juan Pablo.
Ooh, that's a throwback.
That's a throwback. Oh, he defines narcissists.
I've only heard bad things, but never met him personally. So,
what did you give Blake?
Blake was a player. Because he was hooking up with all these women and didn't write. Like it seemed to be just about the hookup with him.
We'll take it.
Yeah, I think, poor Blake. He's just like that guy that was, I feel like that just was so overwhelmed with the moment and so many women just wanted him. And then
there's no poor Blake. Anyways, Dr. Nancy, thank you for being a guest podcast. If you're looking to hear more from Dr. Nancy, be sure to check out her book, Don't Sleep With Him Yet, A Badass Guide to Dating in 10 Empowering Steps.
It's on Amazon. And if you're in the LA area, it's also available at Barnes & Noble at The Grove.
Fantastic.
Oh, awesome.
Anywhere else we can find you? Instagram, Twitter, anything like that?
Thanks for asking. My Instagram handle is DrNancyLee, so Dr. Nancy Lee. And then the Facebook page for the book is Don't Sleep With Him Yet /the book.
Perfect.
Great.
I think it could definitely help a lot of people.
I hope so.
We appreciate you
being
here.
I'm trying. Thank you.
Take care, okay?
So are we. Thanks. We hear you.
You're helping people too.
Well,
thanks, Nara.
All right, see you.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh, well, every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts, but not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, and we are back with more Help I Suck at Dating for your earlobes, eardrums, ear canals.
You're welcome.
Whoa. Anyways, Dr. Nancy Lee, be sure to check her book out. Obviously, she seems pretty insightful, and she's not afraid to pack a punch, as you heard when she wrote that little thing about me. Real nice, Dr. Nancy. We're going to answer a couple of emails.
Poor Dr. Nancy.
We're going to answer a couple of emails.
When she wrote that, she had no idea she would ever be sitting face to face with you reading out loud what she wrote.
She secretly knew it, I feel like. Anyways, we're going to answer a couple more emails for you guys before we get out of here. As always, this is our favorite part of the podcast because it helps us connect with you a little bit more.
You okay over there? You have a that was a little scary.
I think you just had a
stopped speaking.
There was something really important that I wanted to add to the end of that, and I couldn't think of it for the life of me.
Well, I want to add something while you're thinking of it. We love your emails. Please keep sending them.
Oh, I was going to include the email address for the podcast.
How cute. You guys are just like reading each other's minds.
It's what is it?
isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com.
isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Please keep sending emails. Please follow us on Instagram. We are at Help I Suck at Dating. We're going to be doing giveaways. Dean right now is currently wearing a #SuckArmy beanie. I have one too, but I gave it to somebody to wear. It's a long story. But we have Suck Army beanies that we're going to do giveaways on Instagram, and we're going to announce how best
to win it.
To win it.
We're still concocting ideas. Tune into the podcast. We'll come up with them maybe next week. But Instagram is the important thing to follow because that's where you're going to win the beanies.
So follow us on Help I Suck at Dating. And then, what I wanted to say, please, please, please go on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get it. Rate our podcast, please, and give us a review because that really helps. Obviously, please give us a 5-star review.
Don't give us anything other than a 5-star review, please.
Yeah. Four stars is good too.
No, if you're going to go all that way out of your way, give us 5 stars.
I feel like 4 is pretty fair.
No.
Are we a 5-star podcast?
Yeah, we'll take 3 stars,
too. We'll take 3.5. No, but seriously, please just go on Apple Podcasts, rate, review us, give us a comment, let us know we're doing good.
Remember when we used to do the thing where it was
doing
like,
doing well, but it's fine, it's fine.
Remember when we used to say, leave a 5-star review and roast us in the comments?
Yeah, that was pretty fun, too.
If you feel like doing that, you're feeling creative, give us a 5-star review, tell us what you hate most about us.
Really hate us or love us, just give us a 5-star review. That's all we really care about.
We're going to answer a couple emails for you. We've got a couple interesting ones here for you. This first one is from Jamie, and she's sending this for her friend. I'm 24. I've been dating a 34-year-old man for about a year, and things went incredibly well at the beginning. I've had a very bad string of luck when it comes to relationships. Prior to this relationship, I moved across the country for a guy I was insanely in love with to then find out he was in multiple relationships.
No.
That's what she says.
No.
I was damaged, but I moved. However, anytime my boyfriend drinks or is just feeling frisky, he spews past baggage and hurt onto this relationship. I do not know if I can come back from the hateful words and unnecessary fights that have nothing to do with me. For example, my card got declined at a brewery and he said, "You embarrassed me. Don't be like your deadbeat dad." The words are insanely hurtful, and 90% of the time he is so incredibly loving. P.S. I work with him. P.S.S. He was married right before this relationship started.
What happened in the first relationship again? The dude had a different family?
She moved cross country for the guy, and that guy was in other relationships.
Jesus.
What was her name? Or was it anonymous?
This is, Jamie wrote this for her friend. So she's writing from the perspective of her friend, it sounds like.
And the friend says that the guy is romantic 90% of the time. He's a nice guy?
Yeah, 90% of the time he's a nice guy.
10% is a big amount, though.
If the 10% is saying, don't embarrass me, don't be like your deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think she's got to get out of that. I think that 10% is going to soon be 15%, 20%, then it's going to be 50%.
Yep.
And that's just going to keep growing and growing. But how do you, as a friend, then tell your friend, hey, look, this relationship is destructive for you. I think you need to figure out a way to get out of it.
Send her this podcast.
Yeah. Just, you should listen to this episode.
Just take what Dean just said.
No, it's true, though. Actually, a friend of mine went through a very similar situation where one of my friends was on this on and off again relationship with this one guy for like 8 years. It was that, you know, they would date other people, but they'd always still be hooking up and coming back into their lives. But he never wanted to be her boyfriend. And so they never committed, but she would always still hang out with him until one day one of my friends told her, like, they were drinking and she was venting about him. And then my friend was like, I'm tired of you talking about this guy. Like, I can't hear it anymore. She's like, well, what are you talking about? And it's like, you need to never talk to him again. He sucks. You need to not talk to him again. And so she flipped out on her and she's like, you're not being a good friend. Yeah. And they lost a friendship for like a year over this. Yeah. Of course, guess what happened?
They broke up.
The guy, you know, she finally stood up to the guy and was like, either you're with me or not. And he's like, well, I don't want to be in a relationship with you. So they finally broke things off and then the friendship came back to be. So the friend, you know, my friend who was very honest with my other friend was completely in the right. But unfortunately, she lost her as a friend for a little while because she took it poorly. And it might be a similar situation, but at the end of the day, just know you're doing the right thing if you say, hey, listen, this guy might not be the best thing for you.
I mean, I've been in a situation too where I'm giving friends advice and their relationship isn't going well. Mm-hmm. And you never like to give the advice of being like, well, maybe you should just end the relationship. That's never what your friend is like looking for, you know what I mean? Yeah. But sometimes that's the best advice, similar to that situation. And it's just, it's tricky because you don't want to lose your friendship, but you also want to give them the most appropriate advice you can. I think a lot of times it's just like lending a listening ear in those cases. So I'll like just hear them out, listen to them and agree with the things that they're saying, just because I feel like that's a big part of it. But this is like, if it's a destructive relationship, like if he's saying these really hurtful things to you, it's like, yeah, that's something that you should probably exit yourself from.
Yeah. Girl to girl for her, I would just say, know that you're not, like, he's not going to change just for you.
He's going to change, but he's going to change in a bad way.
I was going to say, it's only going to get worse.
Well,
like,
yeah,
you
but
said,
you're not going to be able to save him is what I was trying to say. You know how, like, girls, we think we can sometimes fix things versus, I mean, guys think, I think you want to be the financial supporter or whatever it may be, et cetera, for a man to a woman. I feel like women always want to be like, I want to make you the man that I see you are. But, like, he has to want that himself. Right. And it doesn't sound like he wants that.
So, okay, well, so how do you recommend Jamie to go to her friend and approach the situation as a girl?
Gently, you know?
Well, that's a good start.
Approach it with caution, but I would, you know, maybe invite her over for a girl night, you know, have wine, watch Bachelor or Love is Blind, you know, maybe just ask her how the relationship is going and, you know, subtly give your honest opinion about it. I wouldn't go up to her and be like, your boyfriend sucks, you need to dump his ass right now. I don't think that's the correct approach.
I think, and this might be a little controversial, but documenting times that you have seen red flags so that she can recall it.
Yeah.
And just saying, here's where I love you. I'm going to be here with you no matter what. Like, I'm not leaving. But here's where are my red flags. And then recalling those situations to her, because I think that we tend to forget the bad things and remember the good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think that's a good point too, is writing down those times too, so you can have like a log of the things that were inappropriate.
Yeah.
Or you can like reflect on them and remember them more clearly. It's a little more challenging, I think, for her, but I guess as the friend, it seems like she's been there and experienced some of these firsthand too. So yeah, I think that's a good place to start. Sit down and have a gentle conversation with her.
And
yeah,
I think just saying that you're not leaving her, you know, like you're going to stick by her.
I think we can all agree though that her friend should be out of that relationship though.
Ooh,
it sounds
yesterday.
Like it. I mean, yeah.
Yesterday.
We don't know him, but anybody who says that your dad is, I mean, unless the dad, I don't know.
No, just
don't be like your deadbeat dad is what she said.
All right. Can I ask you a personal question?
Yeah. If someone said,
what if Kaylin said something negative about your father? Something not like deadbeat, but something that
I'd get defensive.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I just didn't know, because I didn't know what her relationship with her dad is, and if he was just being like, maybe she hates her father. I'm probably overthinking this way too much.
Yeah.
But
no, I don't know. It's definitely a sensitive thing to broach.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right.
I'm really sad over this email.
Long story short, Jamie, get your friend out of that relationship. All right, we're going to move on to one more. We have this one from M. M says, I work at a college and I'm 26. That's there's a student that I worked with who I've had a big crush on for about 3 years now. He's 22. He's so kind, and sometimes I can't tell if he's just a nice person to everyone or if he's flirting with me. For example, we were texting and something about something work-related recently, and he sent me a text telling me that it was so sweet of me to be writing a letter of support for an award for someone we both know. Our conversations are mostly professional. He is graduating this year, and I'm possibly leaving my position at the college to take another position elsewhere. I'm looking for some advice on if I should tell him how I feel. I do not crush easily, and I haven't been in a relationship for about 3 years.
So it's supervisor versus like student.
Yeah, what does she do at the college?
She just says she works at the college. She doesn't say what specifically.
She's probably a professor.
Maybe like a professor's aide or something like that.
Like TA or something, yeah.
That's still
something about the upper to a student.
That's obviously it does say, frowned upon, right?
It does say right here this to make me believe
he's
that.
He's graduating.
She says, there's a student that I worked with who I've had a big crush on for about 3 years now. So that means she's, yeah, in a superior position of the student.
Worked with.
Wait.
What's up?
Can I just say, because I know that we talked about this in the beginning about coronavirus.
Yes. Oh, no.
Just got notified. Coachella and Stagecoach Music Festivals have been postponed until October due to coronavirus.
Oh, wow.
I knew that already.
Breaking news here on Help I Suck at Dating.
Festival life, bro. Oh, come on. Festival. Breaking news. That's a good point. Coachella has been pushed. So if you're planning on going to Coachella with a significant other, maybe meeting your girlfriend
Bachelor
there.
In Paradise is going to be so different this year.
Jared and I went to a Stagecoach once.
Yeah, this is when Ashley and I were still in hiding.
Imagine if that was pushed back to October. You guys might have never gotten married.
Or
I'm
Blake.
Sure we still would have.
I'm sure you would have too, but just imagine if you didn't.
And Blake's a better example.
Blake
Look
drama.
At Blake.
He would have probably had a lot better run in Paradise.
I was about to say, he would have been far better off.
Wait, okay, let's go back to the email. I just had to break that news.
Okay, so she essentially is a teacher and she has a crush on a student. The student's graduating and she's being, it sounds like just
I
wait.
Say stay away from it.
Well, just wait till he's graduated. Once he, even if you stay working at the college and he's graduated.
Sure, then that's fine. But he needs to be graduated out of the school. And I would even give it like a little, like.
I think college is different than like.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I guess
definitely, it's definitely tricky.
It is tricky because
if he's
then,
graduating. Have at it.
If you're a professor, though,
have
think about
at it.
Think
he's
about,
graduating.
Yeah, but think about what happens if they start. They're in a public relationship, and then all of a sudden, the dean of the school, like, or word gets around.
It's not a student.
Around.
It's not a student
anymore.
What if, like, you could say you met at a bar 10 years later. I mean, 10 seconds later.
Exactly. That's my point. They were a student in that the last semester, and
like
then he graduated, and then a week later, they're dating.
But so many bosses like fall in love with their secretaries that this could be a really bad. Comparison, but it's like you find love or you find love.
I agree with you, but I do think that there's something about a student-teacher relationship that is it's just touchy. It's touchy.
Let's just say I'm right in the situation. What should she do?
Let's ask this, Tori, because you don't crush easily either.
No.
And I think that's a big important thing to think about in this situation is this person doesn't crush easily, and so she has a crush on a student.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do if you were in her position? As let's say we brought on an assistant producer, like an assistant, like a low
worked
okay,
under you.
Okay, yeah. This is good. This
under
is
her,
good.
Yeah.
Oh,
giggity.
And you develop feelings over the course of the next couple of years. What would be your course of action?
It's hard because he's not graduating, but like if he switched jobs, then yeah, that's all I feel like what it is.
I still feel like the workplace is different than.
Also, can't you just report it to HR? Can't you go to HR like school somewhere and be like, hey, this is happening? But nothing has led up to it just now.
I don't know if I've ever heard of like somebody going to HR being like, I really like this person, but we work together. How does that work?
No, you have to report your relationships.
But we're talking about a university here.
I know. Well, I'm trying to understand if there is that at a university.
I just think.
I think you should go for it. I think what?
It's but what different. Does she say? Does she like slide into a DM?
I think the reason that.
What if the student feels uncomfortable and then reports the professor?
No, I think the reason that we always think that there's this taboo against student teacher relationships is because it's always like you think high
it's
school.
It's underage. Yeah.
Yeah. They're 22 and 26. They're both adults. One's graduating. I don't personally think that there's any conflict of interest there.
She's 26?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And the student's 22. But you're right. Okay, so now that we've established for a fact that it's appropriate for her to pursue a relationship with the guy.
I just think, I'm not saying you shouldn't, just proceed with caution. Because then again, like I said, what if the student's not feeling it?
Yeah, but
then
not saying anything creepy like, I saw down your shirt while you were doing it. It's like,
yeah, just be like
even getting
drinks.
No, but there's like nothing there to like make it creepy.
I'm trying to think if I've ever
Don't
gone
lose
on a
your
date
job
with a teacher.
Over it.
Or maybe love is worth that much.
Nah, with a 22-year-old?
I'm pretty sure that I've been on a date with a teacher, not like a teacher professor, but like an aide at some point, and it wasn't awkward for me.
Of course you have.
Right, but you didn't forego that into a place where you had to be like, okay, I was a student or I am a student. I don't know what the level was.
Forego,
you
know what I mean? Huh? Bachelor word of the week.
Nice. I'm just saying, yeah, from a perspective of the 22-year-old that's potentially graduating soon, it's not weird if you approach him casually. Get a drink. Maybe let's get a coffee because you're in a university environment. People drink coffee all the time there.
Yeah, why not just like, hey, now that you're graduated, let's go grab a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
That should just be it.
All right.
Yeah. See if it's there, because if it's worth it later, like if you go and have,
yeah, obviously end up marrying this guy.
Time, she could be.
That's what I mean. Obviously, it's worth it if they end up like getting married.
Yeah, for
totally.
Sure.
So, Em, if you're listening to this, what's your advice?
No, I'm going to ask you a question.
Oh.
What's your advice?
I say go for it. 100% balls to the wall.
Yeah.
If you don't crush easily, you gotta take advantage of every chance you get.
Well, I'm beat 2 out of 3 here anyway. Proceed with caution. That's my only advice. Hold on. So what were you saying about your relationship with the teacher aide?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I wasn't saying anything. I'm just saying.
No. We got to know a little bit.
I'm just saying at one point in my life, I probably have been on a date with a teacher's aide before.
Allegedly.
In college?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, of course. It wasn't in high school. Come
well,
on.
What grade?
I don't know exactly what grade.
Come on. Give us a senior?
It's got to be later on because then you're kind of like over the sorority or whatever girls that you've seen.
There were no sororities at my college.
A young teacher aide sees freshman dean and you don't think that it's plausible that they could have met up?
I'm not saying that I was ever on a date with anyone. I think that I recall something of the sort happening at some point.
Oh,
in my life.
Gosh.
It's not ambiguity for ambiguity's sake. I'm being genuine.
If I remember correctly. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you do. Do you remember if it was
like a date or was it more of just a casual meetup?
I'm really bad at misconstruing what people think are dates for just like friendly hangs.
Do you remember what you did for the friendly hang?
Did you get to first base?
Dinner?
No, there was no.
Was there any up the shirt touchage?
There was no first base.
Did you round second?
I never even hit the ball. But we definitely, well, not
you
definitely.
Got an A.
I've gotten drinks with them before.
Did you see a couple pitches?
No,
I'm literally saying shit out of my ass.
Yeah,
like, I don't even know what that means.
I took a couple balls.
Took a couple swings.
Fouled a couple off.
Yeah.
I didn't take any swings.
You had a full count.
There were a couple of balls.
Did you get tagged? Get tagged
right
out?
Down the center. Didn't swing on him because I wasn't swinging. The purpose of the.
Yeah. Did you get sent home? Third base coach sending you?
Anyways, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Help I Suck at Dating. Be sure to keep your eye on our Instagram. Jared and I are going to be conducting a Suck Army Beanie giveaway. You're not going to want to miss it. We don't know exactly what we're going to do, but we will be sure to outline the details specifically.
We're going to do something.
That's the most important thing.
We don't know. That should be the name of this podcast. We don't know what we're doing, but we're doing something, and that's the important thing.
And we want you to at least pretend to care.
Yeah, 5-star rating. I don't care if you hate us, love us, are indifferent. Just give us 5 stars.
Yes, please. Thank you guys for listening. Bachelor finale is tonight. So Peter's season is officially over probably by the
time
you've
heard
this podcast.
It's over. And then Claire's season's right around the corner. Did you hear that apparently they're not going to film outside the States because of coronavirus?
Really?
Did you hear that Coachella's canceled?
Oh, we did. Breaking news. It was so funny when you saw that because you were for like, it almost looked like it took 10 seconds for it to click in your brain because you were like, oh, yeah. Oh, breaking news.
I think that was just him being like, how do I mimic or mock Tori?
No, I would never mock you. Hey, that's interesting about Claire's season all being in the U.S., though.
Yeah, I heard that. I don't know if it's confirmed or not. But
I mean, we all know the success of Peter's season when they're like, we are going to Cleveland, Ohio. Well, and all the girls were like, oh.
Chris Soules is the only one I can think of. They were like in Iowa and Illinois. And
I think it's going to be fine. There are many parts within the continental United States that are quite gorgeous. So they'll be fine.
True. All right. Well, we are going to be ears to the ground for that just to see what happens next.
As we always are. I smell chili.
Yeah, that smells good. We're going to go eat some chili. Next week, we're going to have a great episode with a contestant from Love is Blind. You've probably seen that show. If you haven't, go check it out on Netflix. It's pretty captivating. We're going to have one of the cast members from that show join us here in the studio for Help I Suck at Dating. Be sure to tune in then because maybe we'll suck just a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are coming back to Atlanta right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts.
but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.